Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 8 this morning. Matthew chapter number 8. And I tell you, we've got much to look forward to, amen, and not just serving God and living for Jesus down here, but thank God we've got a better place, amen, as we've sung about this morning. Much has been said and sung about concerning heaven, and heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And if you're not ready to go to heaven, then you need to get ready today. Amen. Jesus is soon coming, amen. If he comes today, thank God, I'm glad I can say I'm ready if he comes, amen. If you say, I'm not ready, then you need to get saved this morning, amen. God will save your soul. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. All you got to do is come. Matthew chapter number 8, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, I want us to look in verse number 5. Matthew chapter number 8, and notice with me in verse number 5. The Bible says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Father, I do want to ask you this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us these next few moments. I thank you for everyone that has come this way and gathered themselves together around the Word of God. I pray now that you'll speak to our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you would save the lost and reclaim the backslid. I pray, God, that you'd help us this morning to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. I pray, God, that we would look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, help us this morning to see him who is invisible. May you get glory and honor. I pray, Father, that you would be pleased with our worship. May we receive with meekness the engrafted word. And we ask that we would see no man save Jesus only. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on I know a man who can. I know a man who can. When we come to verse number 5 this morning, it is interesting because we see the Christ as the Bible opens this story with Jesus. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. Now Christ is the man this morning who can. And so we see the Christ, and then we see Capernaum. Capernaum is interesting in this story because not just because of its geographical location, but Capernaum was one of those cities that struggled to believe and have faith in Christ. And then we see the centurion here. The Bible said in verse number 5 that there came unto him a centurion. Now, this centurion was an officer of the Roman army, and he would have been one that would have been commanded or been in command over a company of 100 men. And that is who the centurion is. He is a Gentile that is coming to this Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about him, I want you to consider the centurion, because he is not coming for his own personal gain, but he is coming on the behalf of another. Amen. I want to say this morning, I'm glad there are those that can go to God on behalf of another. Amen. The reason that you and I are here this morning is because somebody went to God on our behalf. Amen. I promise you, as the songwriter said, somebody prayed for me and somebody prayed for you. We are a product of somebody's faith that went to God when you and I did not know. And when you and I did not believe, thank God there was somebody that got a burden, somebody that got a concern for me and you and said, I know a man who can. And thank God they went on our behalf. Amen. And when I think about the centurion this morning, notice with me in verse number 5, I see him approaching Jesus. As the Bible said, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. He is coming to Jesus in this verse. He is approaching Christ. He is coming with a burden. He is begging Jesus. And you know that's the way we come to the Lord. We come humbly before Him and we beseech Him on our behalf and on the behalf of others. I see him approaching Jesus in verse number 5. And then I see him asking Jesus in verse number 6. He has a request. He says, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. I mean, here's a man who's got a servant that no doubt had been a blessing to him. He had been loyal to him. He had served him. But now he is sick. He is grievously tormented. This man cannot help himself. Thank God for this centurion that knew a man that could help this man. I'm glad that when you and I was sin sick and could not help ourselves, I'm glad that somebody went to God and somebody prayed for me and somebody prayed for you. Thank God somebody asked the Lord to speak to us. Amen. You see, you're not here this morning by chance or circumstance. You're not here by accident this morning, but divine providence. I believe in the sovereignty of God, believe in the providence of God this morning. I believe that every man has a free will and a choice, but yet God is working behind the scenes. Amen. I would look back through my life, and I'm sure you can say the same thing. Before I met the Lord and before I knew the Lord, I'm glad that God took the initiative. Amen. I'm glad that somebody else came and they knocked on our door and gave us the gospel and told us about Jesus Christ. Somebody cared for our soul. Amen. Somebody cared enough to bring you to Sunday school from the time you was born. Somebody cared enough to raise you in the house of God. I'm talking about this man. We see him approaching Jesus. We see him asking Jesus. And then look at verse number 7. We see him getting an answer from Jesus. Jesus says unto him, I will come and heal him. Christ knows all things, doesn't he? And when Christ saw this centurion, he saw more than a Roman officer coming to him on behalf of a servant, but he saw a man of faith. He saw a man that was exercising faith. It would take faith for a Gentile in those days to come to any Jew for any man, for any reason. It would take faith for this man in humility for him to come to Christ, even though he was in this world, a higher ranking in status in society, being an officer over others, but he comes to Jesus, and Jesus, knowing his heart and seeing his faith, he makes a statement. He said, I will come and I'll heal him. And we see this man, he gets an answer. I want to tell you this morning, if you come to Jesus Christ, he is the same today, yesterday, and forever, the Bible says. And what that means is, if you're here and you have a need for yourself, or you have a need for another, if you'll do like this centurion, if you'll come to Christ, if you'll call out to him, guess what? He'll answer you. And he's just as willing to help you as he was willing to help this Roman soldier or centurion. Amen. And so I noticed this man, when Jesus says, I will come and I will heal him, I want you to notice the faith of this man, because he understood. I don't know how much he knew about Christ, but he definitely understood some things about Jesus. Amen. He understood in this text the appearance of Jesus and the appraisal of Jesus. In verse number 8, the centurion answered and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. You notice in that verse there that the centurion says to Christ, I am not worthy that thou would come under my roof. I want to say this morning, this centurion understood who Christ was. He had the right appraisal of Jesus Christ, and he had the right appraisal of himself. He saw Jesus Christ as one that was more worthy. He may have had more authority as far as the world was concerned, but he realized that Jesus was more worthy of a man than what he was. Amen. You know, this morning, God does not answer prayer based on our worth. He answers prayer based on his worth this morning. Jesus is not helping this man because he's worthy, because he said he wasn't. You see, this morning you might not ask God for some things because the devil will say to you, or sometimes it's our flesh will say to us, well, no sense in praying about that. That's too big of a prayer. That's too impossible of a prayer. Or you shouldn't ask God for anything because you're low down and sorry and you're not worthy. Well, that's true. This morning every one of us is unworthy. But thank God we pray to someone who is worthy to be prayed to. And if he's willing to let us come to him, and if he's willing to do what needs to be done, then we ought to exercise that. But we have to have the right appraisal. This man knew he needed God. And this morning, if you're going to get help, you have to know that you need God. I'm glad I can stand here this morning and say, I know a man who can. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how good you lived or how bad you lived. I know a man who can help every one of us, who can fix every problem. He can face every circumstance. He can still every storm. He can help in every situation if we'll just see him for who he is and see ourselves for who we are this morning. Every prayer God's ever answered, I've said it many times, and it's worth repeating. Every prayer God's ever answered in my life was based on mercy, not on merit. And this man, I see, he had the right, he understood the appraisal of Jesus. Then look at verse number 8. He understood the ability of Jesus. Look at verse 8. He said in the middle part of that verse, but, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy you would come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man not only had the right, understood and had the right attitude toward the appraisal of Jesus, but he understood the ability of Jesus. He understood that Jesus could do as much from where he was standing as if he went with him. He understood that Jesus had the ability, that the power was in his word. It was not in his physical body. I mean, all of Christ has power, but this man understood that the power was in the word. Hey, can I tell you this morning, the power is still in the word of God this morning. Amen. You see, you didn't come to hear what I think about something. You didn't come to hear what I believe about something. And my word will not help you this morning, but the word of God is what will help every one of us. I'm glad I know a man who can this morning. He has the ability to help me. He has the ability to help you. Your situation is not mine, and my situation is not yours. But thank God he knows it all. He sees it all. And he's got the ability to help us all this morning. He helped this man. And this man believed that if Christ spoke it, then it would come to pass. You know, this morning, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like this centurion and put our faith not in ourself, not in our ability, but in his word this morning. I thank God for experiences. I'm not discrediting experiences, but I want to tell you this morning, I'm not trusting the experiences of life as my security. Amen. You say, well, hasn't God ever done anything in your life? Haven't you experienced some things in your life? Yes. But I want to say this morning, experiences are different. If I was to tell you an experience I had, an experience of faith, and you was to tell me an experience that you had, an experience of faith, they would not be the same. Amen. And so the Bible said that if we compare ourselves among ourselves, then we're not wise. Amen. That's why you can't hear one person's testimony and say, well, that didn't happen to me that way, or I didn't go through what they went through. We can't compare ourselves one to another. And I'll tell you what we can all compare ourselves to this morning, and that is we must believe the word of God. God doesn't do anything without faith in his word. He doesn't want us to trust miracles. He doesn't want us to trust signs and wonders. What he wants us to put our faith in this morning is this blessed old book. Amen. And this centurion said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Jesus had made several house calls. He said, but I'm not worthy. He said, I know this much. If you'll just say it'll happen before I can get home. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the ability of our Savior. You may find yourself in a difficult situation, but do you realize it only takes one word to roll off the lips of an eternal God?
to turn your bad situation upside down. He can turn your valley into a mountaintop in just one word. He can lift the storm. He can calm the waves. He can speak peace. It just takes believing the word of God this morning. I know a man who can. And every time God has ever answered anything in our life, it's been when we trusted the word of God. You know, this morning, if you're saved, you know you're saved not because of what you said or did, but because of what the Bible says. Amen. I want to say this morning, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you believe this morning all have sinned? I do. You say, why do you, Brother Gravely, why do you believe everyone has sinned? There's people that says they haven't sinned. I don't care what they say. I believe all have sinned. I don't care where they come from, how good of a person they are. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. Well, why do you believe that? I'll tell you why I believe that. Because I believe this book this morning. And if that's what this book says, I believe it. Amen. I believe Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I believe Daniel, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked through the fiery furnace. I believe Daniel, my friend, stood in the lion's den, and the lions had locked jaw. I believe Noah built a boat to the saving of his household. I believe blind Bartimaeus received his sight. I believe Jesus come out of the grave 3 days later, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You say, why do you believe that? Because I believe every jot. I believe every tittle. I believe every story. I believe every parable. If this book says it, hallelujah, I thank God, doesn't it feel good to be anchored in the word of God this morning? I believe the Bible. Hallelujah this morning. Thank God, this world is sinking sand. But hallelujah, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand in a world that's turned upside down. I'm glad there is a solid foundation. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord is standeth sure. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Gravely, you believe in the ability of Jesus? Yes. I believe in the power of his word this morning. That whatever he says, it will, it has, and it always will come to pass. Hey, I know a man who can. I don't have to see this man today. I don't have to audibly hear this man. I believe this man because this book has never, ever, never, ever failed one time. Hallelujah. I may not finish the sermon because I might think myself happy before it's over with. I'm just telling you this morning, I'm telling you the best security you'll ever have in this life is in the Word of God. Brother, I'm telling you, you can raise your family on this book. You can build a marriage on this book. You can live 1,000 lifetimes on this book. You can die on this book. You know that? You can step out into eternity on this book. Amen. I believe when it comes time to make the crossing, amen, when Jordan's tide has swelled to its deepest, I believe, thank God, when you go so far that family can't go no further and friends can't go no further and life here on this earth is becoming a fading memory, I believe standing on the other side of the banks of that river will be the one who suffered and bled and died. He'll be ready to take us by the hand to make a safe crossing on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know a man this morning who can. Amen. The ability of Jesus. He believed in his. Do you believe in his ability? I can't do anything, but thank God I'm hooked up to someone who can do everything. I don't know much, but I tell you, I'm holding a book that knows everything. I can't see the future, but I know somebody who's already stepped in the future. I can't do anything about the past, but thank God I know somebody that's buried the past. I can't do much about the present, but I pray to a present God who has present power, who's on a present throne. He's in charge of present things. He holds the palm of the world in the palm of his hands. Thank God I know a man who can this morning. He believed in the appraisal, the ability of Jesus. And then he believed in the authority of Jesus. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, "For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Mr. Centurion, what would make you think that Jesus would not even have to go to your house and face your situation to fix it? Because he believed in the authority of Jesus. He believed not only that Christ had the ability, but he had the authority. That no sickness, no demon, no devil, no disease, no death could ever overcome the authority of Jesus Christ. When Christ came out of the grave on the other side, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," just before he gave the commission. He always had all authority, didn't he? From a babe in Bethlehem's manger to a 12-year-old boy in the synagogue to a 30-year-old man that was baptized in the River Jordan, hanging between heaven and hell at 33 and a half years of age, between two thieves, Christ was always in control. He was always a man of authority. When he bowed his head, he dismissed his spirit on the cross, proving that death had no hold on him, and that all life was in his hand, and that he would lay his life down. And that's what he did at Calvary. He laid his life down. Only, my friend, for 3 days later, he picked it back up, and he defeated death. And he defeated hell. He had the keys to hell. He defeated the grave. And he come out on the other side and had the wounds of Calvary still with him, proving that he's a man of authority. I want to say this morning, the devil does not own this world. Jesus Christ has the title deed to this earth. He has it in Revelation 5. One day, the Bible said no man was worthy to open that book. But John said one of the elders tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around and he said, in the midst of that throne, you know what John saw? He saw a lamb. Amen. He saw the sacrificial lamb of Calvary. But then John said, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Lamb. But thank God, he is the Lion. And he owns this world. Hallelujah. And John said, he's the only one that was worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals. I'm glad. Hallelujah. He has all authority. This world will not have the final say. This world does not run and rule. But thank God, there is one that is seated high in the heavens. He is the lofty one. He is the all-knowing one. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one that is in control of all things this morning. He has authority. And you know what I love about it? I know him this morning. I know that man. I talked to that man this morning. In fact, I came to church with no idea what I was going to preach. Everything in the world has went on this week. And last night I was trying to get a sermon, couldn't get a sermon to save my life. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to the internet. Somebody say amen. I don't do that junk. What is that chat what? Somebody tell me. Yeah, all you people that don't need that know it right now. Chat what? GPT. Okay. Somebody told me the other day, they said, you could just write us, say, give me a sermon on Psalms 23, outline. You know what to do? Boom, 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 boom. God help a sorry, low-down, lazy, good-for-nothing preacher that won't get along with God. I'm not praying. I'm not speaking to a computer, brother, Saunders, to get a sermon. I'm going to talk to God. It might be jotted down on a piece of paper. It may not be very much, but I'd rather get something from God as from chat, whatever you want to call it. STP, amen. I guarantee STP's got more power than GPT.
I come down the road this morning, last night I said, Lord, I'm so tired. I don't normally get tired. I really don't. And if I get tired, I go drink coffee and I drink an energy and two or three things, and then I'm not tired no more. Four shots of espresso, you'll never get tired. But I was tired last night. And I said, God, I can't even think right now. And the Lord said, you just go to bed. I'll give you something tomorrow. And I just went to bed. And I got up this morning, went in there and sat down and drank some coffee and drank a protein shake and drank some water and drank some orange juice. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to preach this morning. And I come this morning, and the Lord said, he brought that story back to my mind. He said, you know, you can't do anything, but you know a man who can. I want to tell you this morning, he's got all authority. Everything in life is too bigger than all for all of us. You realize it don't take nothing to put us out of commission. But I tell you, God is able to do all things. I couldn't preach a sermon to save my life. I'm going to tell you something. If I got something off the internet and preached it, it'd be deader than 4 o'clock. But I know a man this morning. I can't even help anybody in this building, but I know somebody who can. And I don't know what your problem is and what your situation is, but in this text, I just thought about this. You know, in this text, I know a man who can hear a sinner. Because that's what that centurion is. He don't know God. But he came to Jesus and he heard him, didn't he? He said, I will come and help and heal him. I know a man who can hear a sinner this morning. If you're a sinner, I know a man who can hear a sinner. And I know a man who can help the sick this morning. Because that servant, he never said one thing. He was so sick. But he helped him, didn't he? The Bible said in the last verse, he healed him. That's a better word. He can heal the sick. In the self same hour, he can heal him. If it's God's will for you to be healed, he can heal you. If you pray for God to heal you and he don't heal you, then it wasn't his will. But if God can heal people, can't he? We've seen that. And I know a man this morning. You know, you don't have a good sermon if you don't have 3 points. He can hear a sinner. That man can heal the sick this morning. And I know a man this morning. I know a man this morning that this morning he can, oh yeah, here it is. He can hear a sinner. He can heal the sick. And he can help society. Because if you read them 2 verses right there, Jesus drops a message in there about the kingdom. He points them to the last days. I'll tell you this morning, you know what this society needs? They don't need more liquor stores. I'll tell you, it burdens me all these liquor stores going up. And I pray to God nobody that said they was a Christian voted for a liquor store. They'll answer for that in the day of judgment. I have a real conviction about that. Not just because I'm a Christian. But I grew up in that mess. I've seen firsthand what it does to children. And how it shackles your daddy and your mother. I know what it can do. But I know a man can, you know, we don't need more liquor stores. We don't need higher education. I'm not against education, but I tell you, this world needs Jesus Christ. And the hope of Rossville, and the hope of Chickamauga, and the hope of Fort Oglethorpe, and Chattanooga, and Ringo is not the city council, and I'm not down on them this morning. Don't misunderstand me. The hope this morning is sitting right here in these pews. We must pray for our society. Yesterday, I don't know how many people showed up. I don't know how many we have yesterday. 22, and it was raining. Off and on, we had 22 people show up yesterday to go knock on doors. Isn't that a blessing? That's with bad weather. And I'll tell you why God's blessed this church. Because we send missionaries around the world. And because we help preachers carry the gospel across America. And because we knock on doors. Well, if we ever quit that, we might as well put a for sale sign in the front yard. Because the hope for our community is Jesus Christ. I think I was in a place of business this week, and a man, he's a, what is he?
Car salesman.
Well, better than that. Well, let's get on the spiritual side. What is he's a chaplain.
Oh, okay.
He's a car, you didn't know that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah, he's a car salesman and a chaplain. We need to pray for him because he's a car salesman, amen. I need prayer for both, amen. I was in this place of business, and he said something to me. He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You look familiar." He said, "I'm a preacher." And he said, "I just became chaplain over the Lafayette, is that right? Lafayette High School football team, right?" I'm throwing a lot of stuff at him because I'll tell you why. Well, he was there, and he said, "Y'all do any outreach?" I said, "We sure do." He said, "Well, you know all this tragedy that went with these deaths in Lafayette, these young men that died." He said, "Right now, I'm really trying to minister to these young high school football boys and things." He said, "You got anybody that would just come and would your church be interested in coming? Just, I think, bringing them some little snacks and water and stuff like that." And I wrote Brother Andrew. I said, "Yeah." I said, "You call this guy right here." I said, "We got it set up, right?
This Tuesday.
You need anything?
We do.
What do you need?
We need drinks and Little Debbies.
We need drinks and Little Debbies. Can y'all bring that in tonight?
Mm-hmm.
How many we need? We probably should have discussed this before church, amen. But I gave him the number and I said, "Call him." He'll work. How many we need?
About 150.
We need 150 drinks and 150 debbies. That's not anything, is it? Let's just bring that in tonight, and then they're going to give it out Tuesday to them. And what it does is it allows them boys and them that's struggling, if they want to talk, want some scripture, want to pray, it just opens that door to witness to them and tell them about a man. Who can? You know, that's what they need. You know, somebody said, "Well, I wouldn't buy somebody a steak to get them a church. They'd be coming for the wrong reason." I'd buy them two. If we can get them to church to hear the gospel, I'd buy them a porterhouse, wouldn't you? Anywhere you want in town to get them under the sound of the gospel. A Coke and a Debbie, you know. When you buy one, buy some good Debbies. Can we get an amen right there? Amen. Don't buy oatmeal pies or Star Crunch. Amen. Yeah. Buy that good stuff. Amen. We want to show them we really care. Don't buy anything with marshmallow things. They're terrible, you know.
Amen.
Buy something good that they're going to say, "Man, thank you." You know, we don't want to give them the leftovers. But I'm saying this morning, I'm glad that in hard times that we know somebody we can call on. Well, think about it. How many times in life did it seem overwhelming? And you didn't know what to do. And you just come to God and said, "Lord, would you help me?" I asked the Lord one day. I sat down on a log. I don't ever go to the woods to pray. I walked out in the backyard that day and I remember it was such a beautiful day. The sun was shining. The clouds were white clouds, just blue sky. I went out there and sat down on the log in the backyard and I said, "Lord," I said, "I'm in trouble. I got three problems that I cannot fix and they're overwhelming me right now." And I remember looking up in that sky and I said, "Please, God, would you help me?" And that was it. I got back up and I went in the house and we had a landline at that time. When I walked in the house with this Bible in my hand, the phone rang right when I walked through the door and I picked that phone up and prayer number one, God answered it that quick. That don't happen every day in my life, but I'm telling you, this Bible in my hand, God bared me record that happened. And I hung that phone up. I said, "Thank you, Lord." And when I said that, my wife come out of the back bedroom. And I'd come home from a meeting. I hadn't saw her. And she come out. She was crying. She said, "I got to tell you something." I said, I got to tell you something first. She said, "No, mine's more important." I said, "No, mine's more important." She said, "No." I said, "I bet you mine's more important." And I hate this. Hers was more important. She said, so-and-so got a good report. We've been so burdened about that. She said, so-and-so got a good report. That's prayer number two that was answered. And the other one, I had to come here on Wednesday night. Somebody just went nuts, you know. And I was going to have to deal with it, and I didn't want to deal with it. And before I could deal with it, that person came up just crying and said, "Preacher, Miss Nolita, I'm so sorry. I got right with God, and I want to get right with y'all." And I didn't need an apology. I just didn't want them to go crazy, you know what I'm saying? Prayer number three, God answered. I'm telling you, He is no respecter of persons this morning. If you got a burden, it is not the will of God to take it home. We know somebody who can. Let's stand. Say, get us a song ready.